Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International. We're going to be continuing today in our series talking about life-changing principles, principles that can change our marriages, that can make us have marriages that are heart to heart.
So we hope you have your paper and pen, because today we're going to look at what is true love. Many people don't even know what true love really is.
Yes. In fact, we should ask the question, where do we get our ideas of what true love is? You know, probably one of the most important places is through our parents. Hopefully, our parents have given us an example of what true love is.
So they're our first role model then,
right? That's right.
So the challenge for us would be, as parents ourselves, to recognize that we are demonstrating and teaching our children what true love is. So we better know that we really understand it.
That's right. It puts us in an important position. Unfortunately, many, many young people today are finding their role models on television, the DVDs, the videos, the movies, Hollywood's version of love, and it's not a very good version.
I think a lot of people are, young or older, finding that there. And that's what causes them to be discontent in the marriage, because it's not this romantic scene that the woman dreams of, or she's not the knockout that the man is hopeful for.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people are buying into these advertisements, you know, find love in the Bahamas. That isn't really where we're going to find it.
We find love where we choose to find love, right?
That's right.
So we're influenced by the things around us, where we, how we define love. Even the things we read, the magazines, the books, the novels. I mean, we travel a lot, and it's very common. Half the women have some novel in their hand, and all has to do with love. They're searching for, what is love? They're looking for that in their experience. And are we really going to find true love there?
You know, even in the music that we listen to, music can be very seductive, very sensual, even immoral and passionate. And that's not where people are going to find love. And yet music has a powerful influence on people's minds.
It seems like everything around us influences us. All those outside sources influence us. And so much is being expressed in this area of love. I mean, it's a very common topic today. Like you said, through the music, magazine, books, TV, radio, it's everywhere. Signs, billboards, advertisements, even in friendships. Even in friendships, those influence us. Where's true love? I remember one couple, friends that we knew, and they said, oh, we wife swap. That's what we do.
Shocking.
It is shocking, because that's how we know how to love the other person. I love them better, because it's scary when we think of where those influences are leading us. And those influences often lead us away from what true love is, and want us to think that it's this romantic ecstasy.
Yeah, and sadly, we're living in a time in this earth's history, as we speak, where a gay community can refer to love as something that God in His Word refers to as an abomination. And that's where we are in this earth's history. And what has become in years and times past completely unacceptable by beholding, we as a people, as a nation, by beholding, we become changed. And so it is scary, as you said, Elaine. It's scary because where are people gaining their understanding of what love is when they enter into a marriage?
So maybe we need to make it very clear that when we talk about a marriage, we're talking about male and female union.
Absolutely.
We're not talking about same-sex marriages. We're talking about what the Bible describes as the union between man and woman. And really, when we go back to the Bible, God is the creator of all. He's the creator of love. He's the creator of marriage. He's the author of the Word. And it's in His Word that we need to find the true basis of love, the true definition of love. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it already in this series.
Yes, 1 Corinthians 13. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with us there to 1 Corinthians 13, because we're going to refer to this many times. It's the real basis for true love. It's the most inclusive. It's the most clear definition and the pattern that God has given us of what love really is.
You know, we shared earlier, honey, on a previous program about our first year and some of the struggles we went through and how we were wanting to start right. And so we started reading 1 Corinthians 13. But after a few months and the painful experience we were having, we set the book aside because it was hurtful to read it because we weren't experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful to say now that I love to read that chapter, and it doesn't help me to see you and what you're not doing. It helps me to see what God wants me to do to make our marriage work and to make it happy and to make it love fulfilling for both of us in the marriage. So we want to look at 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to take each of those very familiar little segments and we want to describe them and illustrate them and how they work in the day-to-day, because it's by taking the scripture and making it practical that works in our real life situation that helps us to understand what true love is. So if we look there, it says love suffers long. That means love is patient. And I can remember when we were first married and I'd say, honey, would you mind taking the trash out? Oh, sure. You were very willing. Remember that? You were so willing. Always, yes. It was never, no, I don't want to. But you would forget. And so that was okay.
One track mind.
You told me that. One track mind. And so then I would set it by the back door. Honey, would you mind taking the trash out when you're going to work? Just, you know, put it in the trash can in the garage. Oh, fine, you know. And I come out into the kitchen a little while later, and it's still by the back door. And so love is patient. That was not for you, but for me, because that used to irritate me. I just asked him. He agreed. He's willing, and it's still there. What's wrong? And, you know, the Lord helped me to see, you don't always remember everything either. So before we jump on the other person, let's let God work in our hearts and help us to be patient. So now, honey, if I ask you to take the trash out and you forget, it is no problem to me. Because I'm learning what that real love is, to be long-suffering. That's just one example. It happens in many things through the marriage.
That's right. And the beauty of it is when we have that kind of love, and that's a simple example, but by you not responding to me the way that you did early on, it's actually an incentive for me to make a greater effort on how I take care of the trash and not let myself get preoccupied with something else.
That's right. So it's not that it's your duty to take the trash out, but this is just a simple example. It says, love is kind. Oftentimes you'll say something like this to me, honey, I'd like you just to go relax and I'll do the dishes for you. I know when you say that to me, it's coming from your heart because it's in your heart to be kind to me, not because I want you to be, not because I'm forcing you to be or demanding that you must be.
That's right.
It's because you want to be. And I know that. I sense that in the words that you express to me. And oftentimes I'll say, well, honey, let me at least dry. I'd rather be with you than sitting over there on the couch all by myself resting. And there are times I rest too, but that's an example of how love is kind and it's demonstrated.
Love begets love.
So that
when you sense in me the real motive, the desire that I have in my heart to give you a little rest or whatever, that tenderness, that then actually makes you want to spend more time with me.
Always.
Works great.
Yes, it does. Also, love envieth not. Now, that's an interesting one because I think most of us don't think that we are envious people, that we're jealous of other people. But you know, I have found that we still have a problem in this area. I remember, honey, when we were first married, and God has blessed you with a very talented voice. And I love to hear you sing. And you would go over to your friend's house, the quartet would meet there, and the pianist would come, and you would sing and practice your music, getting ready for a program, a concert. And I wanted to be a part of that so much with you. that I started to be jealous that I couldn't sing, at least sing nicely, the way I thought or I perceived would have to be good enough to sing with you. And I started finding myself becoming envious of that. And I didn't like how I felt. And the more I thought about it, the better you sang and the worse I didn't sing. That makes sense? But anyway, I found myself just, it was starting to divide mm-hmm. my heart from you instead of appreciating that in you. And so I, by the grace of God, I have surrendered that, and there's nothing that I envy.
Isn't it wonderful now that we can sing together?
Yes.
The whole family can sing together.
That's right.
Not that the Lord always does it that way.
That's right.
We can let go of those things, and the Lord puts things together in a different way. Well, there are a few other things. True love vaunteth not itself, doesn't put itself forward. It's not puffed up. It's not proud and boastful. It doesn't behave itself in an unseemly manner. And it seeketh not its own.
That's a lot.
It's a big one. And they all kind of go together. You know, I used to be the life of the party. And I never understood this. You know, when we were first married, I was the life of the party, and I was always out there, and it was me living my self-focused, you know, I'm going to do it my way. And I was then fitting you in, trying to fit you in to my lifestyle. And I didn't understand at that time how inconsiderate I was being of you. You know, I was doing all these things. This wasn't true love. I was putting myself forward. I was not really behaving myself in the right manner. And if you didn't fit into that, I wasn't very happy with you. And that isn't the case anymore, is it?
No, not at all.
You don't just get fit into my life. You are the most important person to me on this earth.
And I know it.
And that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I can remember more than a few times going to a party, you know, with your friends or a get-together, even a church social. And, you know, I knew how you were there, and I wanted some of that with me. And it used to really hurt my feelings because you could be so quiet going there. And all of a sudden, it's like once you entered in to that home or that setting, it's like you came alive, and it really, you know, I felt dead when you came alive because I wanted you to be alive with me.
Yes.
And so that is what it's talking about, not wanting itself or being puffed up or seeking its own. And I've done the same thing. You know, maybe women do it in a different way because, you know, when we have our husband alone, we cherish that time. And so maybe there's other ways that we do it, but all of us have the same weakness to some degree or another. So we have to ask God to help us know how to understand it, that we can change through His power. Love is not easily provoked.
Oh, that's a big one.
I have failed so many times in this area.
But isn't the Lord good?
And so are you. You have to forgive me.
But the Lord takes those things and He turns those defeats into victories if we're willing and desirous of having a marriage that's heart to heart. And friends, if we will give ourselves to God and give ourselves to the one that God has given us, we can learn these things. We can learn this love. Don't do what we did. After we read that 31 versions for a while, we gave up on it because it was not working. And the problem was that we were not working. We were not cooperating with God. We were not giving ourselves to God and to each other. So don't give up if you find yourself in a situation. Because we used to get provoked at each other, and we're not having that experience because it doesn't have to be that way.
That's right. When I provoked you, or when I was provoked, it led the other one to a similar response.
Yes.
And so, again, it would be something so minuscule. And the next thing you know, we're in a, you know, pretty intense conversation. That's putting it kindly. Mm-hmm. So love is not easily provoked. And, you know, when we begin to learn patience and kindness, and when we're not wanting to puff ourselves up, those things automatically start decreasing our tendency to be provoked. And I remember being at someone's home once, and my heart just went out. I mean, this lady had made a beautiful meal for us. You remember that, right?
I remember that.
She had set the table. I mean, it was gorgeous. It looked like we were at some exotic restaurant. And she called us all to the meal. The husband was out in the living room talking with us, and she called us out to the meal. And he looked at the table, and I don't remember what she'd done wrong. I couldn't see anything wrong with the table. But it's like he corrected her. How come you didn't do this? And how come you didn't make that? And what? And he was provoked by just looking at the table.
Yes.
And that was in front of us. So he was easily provoked, which began to make a big influence in her.
That's right. And it was hurtful for her, and you could see the countenance change. Well, you can see, friends, that we're talking about maybe some new ways of looking at 1 Corinthians 13. And when we come back from the break, stay with us, because we're going to continue on here defining what true love really is. Welcome back to What True Love Is. We were talking about 1 Corinthians 13 and bringing that out in a very practical and powerful way. True love thinketh no evil. Now, thinketh no evil? Remember that time that we borrowed Bernard's truck?
Oh, yes, I remember.
And you really weren't too happy about me borrowing that truck, because why?
Usually whenever either of us borrowed something, it seemed to get broken somehow.
Well, I was so careful, so prayerful with that truck, but there I was coming in the driveway with that load of lumber. And you were coming in right behind me, and that lumber slid out and bent the tailgate. And before you had a chance to say anything to me, I was out of the truck telling you, I know what you're thinking. I was completely wrong on what you were thinking.
You were.
And I'm thankful that you didn't enter into the spirit that I had, because I was thinking evil about you. And all you were doing was praying for me, feeling bad because of what had happened to Bernard's tailgate on his truck. Love thinketh no evil. And I'm so thankful that as we have been willing to experience the love of Christ, that we don't have that kind of experience in our marriage anymore. Doesn't mean that we don't have problems. We just want to encourage you, friends, that no matter where you find yourself, we can have a marriage heart to heart that is demonstrating the true love of Christ as we allow Him to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. True love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. I used to be critical of you, and now I don't have those kind of feelings towards you. I remember I used to come home and be critical if something was wrong or something didn't get done. But as God began to work in our hearts, giving us that deeper love, I'd come home and you'd be working with the children, and I could tell something wasn't going right in the homeschool. And rather than becoming critical, I wanted to encourage you. Because true love does not rejoice when you have a problem. It rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in what you can be. It rejoices in being able to encourage you and lift you up rather than to condemn you.
And I've seen the difference in that. And that it provides a secure environment. So I can come to you now and tell you, this is what I did wrong. Or this is what I said to the children or whatever. And mm-hmm. I can come to you and trust you with my failures and share with you, you know, what the Lord's done to change me in that moment, or you can give me encouragement what I can do to change to be a better person. So this love truly is not something we can manufacture. It's from God. And then we've talked about this before, that love bears all things. That means every misunderstanding love will bear, because it's God's love working in our heart. It believes all things. I can believe in you. You know, when I stopped being disappointed that you weren't who and what I wanted and started to believe in you, you became the man I wanted. A lot of it had to do with my own attitude, my own thoughts. And so as we believe in the other person, believe the best and they will strive to be the best. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things.
And love endures all things. We were talking before about that enduring commitment. Love does endure all things. It means that we're willing to go through these difficulties together.
That's right.
Love endures all things. And the good news, the best news, is that love never fails. Love never fails. Jesus won't fail us. And even though we can fail each other, our love does not have to fail.
That's right.
And we can learn from our failures, and we have. That's what's encouraging about a marriage that's heart to heart. We can learn from our failures. When we fall, we can rise up in the Lord Jesus. We can repent, confess, and move forward, strengthening that bond of love.
And not holding the other person in the past. Not leaving that person, oh, you did that last week, or you said that yesterday, and you did it again today. But love changes that. God's love, and it creates a atmosphere that is nurturing to grow that relationship more and more.
That's right. This kind of love cannot exist in the me focus. We've talked about the me focus versus the us focus. This kind of love grows as we're willing to move to the us focus. You know, sometimes people think, and I used to think this, if I can just say it, if I can just get this off my chest, if I can just tell my wife what I really think,
then you're going to be happy, right?
I'll be a happy boy. Never works.
It doesn't work for either of us.
It's one of the lies of the devil, friends. It's one of the lies. If I can just get this out, no. It never works. And so the me focus never brings happiness but only misery. And this love, this true love that God wants to give us, is a love that never fails.
That's right. And we've seen the difference in our home, because now that we've learned to get it out, what I think, what I feel, just to get it out doesn't really make me any happier, and certainly doesn't make you happy. We've made that commitment in our marriage that
that's right.
The only way that that's really going to be gotten out and dealt with properly is to have God take it out of us and to change what I'm going to say to you. So no longer do we have yelling or intensity or condemnation. I mean, you know, this aggressive communication in the home. And it's provided such a happy, loving environment. It doesn't mean we always agree. It doesn't mean I see things the way you always see them. But we don't have to go into one of these matches.
Right. So did God just kind of wave this magic wand over us and sprinkle some dust on us and we were just wonderfully changed?
Well, if it was that easy, we would all be perfect Christians, wouldn't we? We'd all have perfect homes and perfect marriages, and we would live happily ever after. That's not how it works, because it comes by myself, by you, and by every one of you there, making the choice yourself. What will you allow God to do in your heart?
So we have to surrender.
Exactly.
And it's a hard thing to surrender.
Yeah, because you don't feel like it at the moment.
At the moment, we don't want to surrender. It's because everything inside of us is crying out, I want to say this, I want to do this, I want to feel this way. But when we're willing to surrender, God will make the difference. And we want to challenge you today. You know, one of the blessings of the ministry work that we've been involved in is that we do not challenge you with anything that God has not challenged us on. Nothing that we bring to you will be new to us. God is already working in us and continuing to work in these areas of our life. But we want to challenge you to begin to pray. If you haven't been praying specifically, begin to pray that God will give you this true love. This love that only comes from God and is based on 1 Corinthians 13. Not this worldly Hollywood version. And then pray that God will show you the opportunities to demonstrate that love. As I began praying that for my wife, God began to show me through the day little ways that I could begin to not respond in my self way, but to respond in a Christ-like way to demonstrate love
that,
to my wife.
That 1 Corinthians 13 love, right?
Yes.
And that's really the challenge that you're asking us, is that look for the ways. We each need to look for the ways that we can demonstrate the 1 Corinthians 13 love. That means there's going to be times that we give in acts of kindness and how we respond, and times that we're willing to be restrained and change the course of our thinking, change our thoughts, consciously making a decision. I'm not going to think that about him anymore. Yeah. I'm going to think this. So that's one thing we can do. In addition to that, what will really help is if you will write down during the day ways that your spouse has demonstrated that love for you. That means you're looking for the good in your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important because many people are so focused on the negative. Write it down, and then in the evening, communicate the ways that you have seen demonstrated to you that love. And as you and I talk about the things that we've seen each other in the day, it only nurtures us and motivates us
that's
to
right.
continue to demonstrate that love.
Well, that's exciting. And I'm excited that even as we're sharing this, doesn't it make you want to even kindle more of that love?
Absolutely.
Why don't we pray together as we close? Father in heaven, what a blessing to be able to come to you. You are the author of love. You're the author of our love. And we pray that for each one of us, the viewing audience, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, we ask that you would begin to kindle or rekindle that love in our hearts, and that we will look for ways to cooperate with you, that we'll surrender ourselves to you and become what you can make us, that we will truly love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to our next time together when we're going to be talking about developing respect. That'll be an exciting topic.
It is.
Don't miss it.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.